He gave me this title, which is also scripture. And let the peace of God rule where?
In your
hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Huh? Paul wrote this letter to the church here that was having some problems. The pastor of this church, if I can get his name right, I wish they would have just called people in the Bible Bill or Sam and you know, stuff like that. But it was Epaphras was the pastor of this church. And he was having some troubles in the church at Galatia, or excuse me, at Colossia. So he had to go and see Paul, and never met Paul before. But where did he have to go find Paul? Where was Paul at this time? Anybody know? He was in prison. He was in preaching about a risen Christ. And did that get Paul down because he was in prison? No. No. He found it all joy. I'm glad to be in prison for preaching about a risen Savior who I really know. And he found peace, even in the midst of the prison, Brother Pastor. What did Paul do? Maybe he picked out some songs, Brother Mike. Oh, he didn't have these songs that we sing, but he maybe picked up songs. David's writings, they're all songs. And poems, maybe he sang to himself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I bless your holy name." Huh? That's a pretty good song in my book. And we used to sing that a lot. And he does bless my soul. I'm trying to take my time. So add another 5 minutes. And I won't try to keep you long. And every time I say that, we go over. But there's no time and a half for me going over. Okay? But let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Excuse me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's a special place for worship. For we are all going through difficult times. Or if not difficult times, will come. Because that's life. Saints and sinners alike go through difficult times. I just don't know how the sinners, how can they make it and rely on nobody? While we as Christians can rely and find peace and joy in Jesus Christ. If He has rule and reign over our hearts. That's the secret of finding pure peace. If he does not have rule and reign over our hearts, difficult times will seem more difficult. Huh? I asked the Lord to slow me down. And he's slowing me this morning. You know, if a man or a woman loses his patience or his peace, it is an awful proof that he has lost something else in his life. That he has given way to evil. And he grieved the Spirit of God. While peace rules, always safe. But if you lose your peace in Jesus Christ, there's something wrong somewhere. You've let down maybe somewhere in your spiritual walk with Jesus. Would you rather me preach on tithes than this? Oh, we're awfully, awfully quiet this morning. We got to change that sign that says Methodist Church. Baptist. I'm sorry. Sister Emma was saved in a Methodist church. I'm not knocking them. They're quiet. They're quiet. And you know, the fastest growing movement in the world today is Pentecostal. You realize that? It's the fastest movement going on right now. Now, I don't know how you feel, but I'd like to join that crowd. Oh, we don't always have to come and have a great big shout. But we ought to act like we're alive in Jesus Christ. We ought to say amen once in a while, or glory to God, or say, oh me. But we ought to say something. You're allowed to say that here. Huh? Amen. Always somewhere in the church there was an amen corner. I haven't found that here yet. Have you, Pastor Sam? Not yet. We got to build one. It might as well start with Mike. Amen. Amen. Might as well start with Jordan.
Amen.
I'm just messing. But this morning, I want to talk about peace. I want you to have peace. Even when you're going through struggles, I want you to find peace. This man that you're looking at has troubles. Sure he does. Yeah, I like to make people laugh, Sister Emma. That's just a part of my DNA. My mom always told me, you missed your calling. You should be out in Vegas somewhere on stage. But she was happy I was preaching. But you know, we just got to act who we are. So Brother Ron, you just got to take me as I am. And he always asked Pastor Sam, where did you find this nutcase? Well, you know what? I will tell you this. If I don't do nothing else, every church I've been to, everyone I pastored, I taught them this. Laugh. Have fun. Act like you're a Christian. I think it's fun. I had fun in the world, but it lasted just for a short time. Brother Mike, you know what I'm talking about. You can't wait for a Friday night to come. Of course, I didn't wait for Fridays. I was there every night. But you know, it lasted for a few hours. You wake up the next day and you go, what are we going to do today? Huh? But when you find that peace and assurance in Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry about the next day because I continue having that peace and assurance that a brown bottle cannot give you. It can't give you. That's a bottle of beer, Sister Emma. A brown bottle. What's that? I thought she said she drank gin. Okay. But I want us to find that peace today. We shouldn't go around ho-hum, but we should know whom you believe in. And you ought to be persuaded that he is able to keep. Huh? Amen. She's just finishing the scripture for me. This is the hardest time I've had preaching here. Something just isn't kosher. And I don't know what it is. But something is just not completely right today. Now he's going to hit home? No. But can't you just feel it? Huh? I've got head shaking now. You know, the gift of discernment is good to have, but it also makes you feel like you're in left field sometimes, that you're all alone because everybody can't feel what you feel. You know that? When I was a young minister, there was another young minister that was coming up the same time, and the whole Church of God of Prophecy in Pennsylvania just fell in love with this kid. I didn't like him none. I didn't. There was just something that didn't jive with me with him. And I thought it was me because everybody else loved this guy. And I thought, Lord, you got to take this feeling away from me because I can't be right. The whole church got to be right. It's got to be me, right? But he wouldn't take it away. That year he went out to pastor. They gave him a small church. First year he done fine. Church grew some. He was a good preacher. Second year, church started to falter. He started to falter. Things started to come out about this man. And I just sat back. And I said, Lord, you're gonna show it, aren't you? He was gay. He got married to cover it up. And he beat his wife. And the whole state of Pennsylvania just loved this man. But Brother Mike, I just couldn't. I couldn't wrap my arms around him and say, I love you. I stayed away. And it's a saying, I'm not saying that's here today. I'm just saying what a gift of discernment does to you. How many has that gift? I think it's one of the best gifts you can have. I think you ought to listen to the Holy Ghost when you walk in somewhere and he tells you don't take another step forward, but you get out of there, you need to leave. Huh? I preached for this lady one time. It was an independent Pentecostal church. So everything was going fine. I gave altar call. This young girl came up and she started seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm praying with her. All of a sudden, the pastor walked up, this lady pastor, pushed me out of the way, smacked that girl in the head, knocked her down on the floor. And she says, "That's it. You got him." Well, needless to say, I grabbed my suit coat and I left. I said, the only thing that little girl has is a headache. That would make you speak in some kind of language. Somebody smacks you upside the head like that. But see, you got to have the Holy Spirit working. He's not just for a shout. He's not just having you speak in tongues. See, people get that all wrong. That's just the evidence that you have him. That's what the scripture tells me. But he said he would lead you and guide you into all truth. If you have peace in your heart, he'll do that for us. How many knows what I'm talking about? Not everyone. We got to learn this, Pastor. The Holy Ghost is our comforter. He's our present help in the time of needs. Amen. But he'll also keep you out of trouble if you let him. Huh? I was asked to go to a lot of churches and I just didn't feel it. I'm not going. My wife at the time said, "Why are you passing up all these churches? We could use the money." I ain't in this for the money. I got to feel it before I go. Pastors call me up. "I want you to come for revival here." I don't know. Let's make that tentative. You know? Because at that time I was wore out. I was running like Brother Sam was. I was running. Never saw my wife and kids. Going to Maryland, going to West Virginia, going down to Virginia, going down to North Carolina, hitting all those places, going to Tennessee, where I didn't even know I was going up this steep mountain, thinking, "Wow, when's this going to end?" But it was fun at the time. But it wears you out. Huh? And sometimes it was a week, sometimes it was 3 days. But in Maryland, we went 3-week revival. You talk about tired, Brother Ron, preaching every night. That was tiring. But see, God gave me the peace to do that for him. And I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Huh, Pastor? I don't regret a mile. This morning, there's troubles here. I want the Lord to fix them. I want the doctor to come in. Huh? When the other doctors turn their heads and walk away, that's when the great physician walks in. Huh? How many needs prayer? Everybody. How many needs special prayer? I want a healthy church. We're a body. We are a body here. Like it or not, we're a part of each other. And when one hurts, we all hurt. When God blesses somebody, we're all blessed. Because we're all one. Sister Christina doesn't, you know what? You can get mad, but I'm your brother. Brother Mike's your brother. Well, I know that. And I know this is a different type of message, but when I walked in, I felt it, Pastor. Thinking something ain't right. So if you need special prayer, you're going through something, I want the God of peace to settle down upon you and give you rest. Huh? Huh? I asked the pastor the other day, I said, Pastor, how do I ask the church to pray that I get a divorce? That sounds awful. Huh? But I don't know what else to ask. It sounds awful because I know in the scriptures God hates divorce. But how long do you wait? I don't know. I can't find the answer. He won't talk to me about this. And I get a little upset. I'm going to be honest. He knows my heart, so I might as well just tell him. He's my friend. He sticks closer than a brother. Huh? He's my father. So I can go to him and I can ask what I will. He said, and it shall be done. Huh? I need an answer from God. One way or the other, Lord. Some people tell me, if you take her back, you're crazy. Read Hosea. He went back and got his wife. And she was up for auction. Come on. You read it? She was used and abused and put up for auction. And what did he do? He went down and got his wife. You know what? I'm willing to do that. But I'm also willing to be separated if that's what she wants. I can't do it. I've tried. I'm just talking then. I went and got and asked for how much will this cost me? $900, $1,500. I said, my goodness, it's cheaper to get married than it does to get a divorce. Should be the opposite. But every time I went, God was telling me no. Because I told her, I made a vow with God and with you. Before we even got married, I said, there'll be no more divorce. No more. I'm not going through it again. It hurts too much. Huh? And she knows that. I made a vow to her. But I know what the scripture says. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart. But I'm holding on. I'm staying true and faithful to her like I'm married to her. Because I am. That's not easy to do, Brother Mike, because everybody's got needs. Yeah, I want somebody to hold me and kiss me and tell me that they love me. Think I don't miss that? I'm human. And I'm waiting. But I want an answer. And I ask God, please give me an answer by the end of February. And I would like the body of Christ to pray for me. I'm asking for your prayers. By the end of March, I would like to know something. She won't talk. I can't call. I don't know where she's at. She changed her number. She did everything. So I can't even say, well, what are we going to do? You know? And I'm not traveling 4 hours to go down there. So I'm asking for your prayers. And I'm one that needs peace about this. I'm talking also to me today. Anybody else needs that kind of prayer? Well, I hope you're not going through a divorce, sis.
I'm married.
Huh?
I'm not married. I'm a widow.
You're a widow.
What?
Stay that way. Sister Cindy, I know you're hurt. I know that. When I walked in, I knew that. As soon as I looked in an empty chair, I thought Brother Tom would be here today. Tom, we miss you. We want you to come home. I thought Brian might be here today. He's going to be late. But Brian, we want you to come home. We miss you. Huh? And that's what we got to tell people when we see them on the streets. We miss you. Don't shun them. Your sister George, let's go the other way, you know? We can't do that. Love them to death. Kill him with kindness. Amen. It's just like this minister lived on one side, lived in one house, and there was another one right beside him. And I don't know if this guy was an atheist or just didn't believe in anything. I don't know. But every week he'd throw his garbage in that pastor's yard. Every week, Pastor, bunch of garbage in his yard. But you know what? That pastor said, I'm going to kill this man. I'm actually going to kill this man with love. He picked up the garbage, told the man, I love you. I don't know why you're doing this. I've never did nothing to you, but I love you. So keep tossing, keep throwing. I'm just going to love you to death. And he won them to the Lord. But wonder if that pastor had an attitude. I'm going to call the law on you. Huh? Or come off that porch and bring it on. Huh? Oh. That solves nothing. That's right. Is this okay today? I'm just talking from my heart. Not really evangelistic message, I know. And that's what I am. But the Lord just slowed me down. Because somebody needed to be talked to. I don't know who it is. Pastor, it could be you. I don't know. But I know there's a heavy burden here. I can feel it. Brother Mike, are you okay? Okay, you look good. But I just want us to be a healthy body here, loving one another, taking care of one another. Huh? Sister Tina hurts, we all hurt. Huh? We need to be like that. We need to get that love and that peace and assurance. You want true peace? Think of it this way. You're lying on a beach in Hawaii, the wind blowing through your hair, and you're sitting there drinking a virgin pina colada. That means no alcohol. Or wherever you like to go. It could be a cold place. Could be a warm place. Could be, I don't know. But that's my thinking. I like to have a hammock and just relax. David said, if I had wings, I'd fly away and be at rest. Wouldn't that be fun? Huh? You know, when an eagle knows that a storm is coming, he flies to the top of the very highest tree. Because he knows a storm is coming. And when the storm starts to come and that wind starts to blow, he lifts off. And he goes above the storm. And just flying around and being at rest above the storm. See, when we're going through storms, we need to use it to our advantage. Just like the mighty eagle, which is my favorite bird. But he flies above the storm. And that's what we need to do to find peace. Huh? Sister Emma, climb the highest tree you can find. And wait for liftoff. And fly above the storms of your life. I want us to stand. I want my pastor to come. I don't know what time it is, but I know I haven't gone over 5 minutes.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to plead with you. But if you need prayer, come.